John 16 and verse number 13. I'm sorry to hold you up. John 16 and 13. I'm going to read two scriptures, and then we're going to read Romans 8 and 14. Howbeit, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever you shall hear, he shall hear that he shall speak and will show you things to come. God gives us his Holy Spirit, not only that we would be born again, but that he would lead us, guide us into all truth. Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. I want to talk to you today about a Spirit-led life. A Spirit-led life. I don't know about you, but with all the craziness that's going on in our world, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Would you pray one more time? I want to ask if you would join with me in prayer for Sister Acela's family, Miniasi. Sister Acela, dear saint of God, passed away from our Hornsby Church just this week. Our condolences to Brother Inossi, Sister Olivia, all of her family. We want to pray for them, and also for Sister Latia and Sister Asena. Would you pray in Jesus' name? Father, we thank you that you are our healer. Thank you that there are people here, Lord, that can testify that you've healed them. We're in the house of God today because of your hand of healing. You promised in your word that by your stripes we are healed, and so we appeal to that great word for our dear sisters, Sister Asena, Sister Latia, who are in hospital right now. We ask you to go to their hospital bed, Lord, and bring healing virtue and power. Restore them, heal them, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch us today. Others that are sick, we pray that you'd heal them, Lord God, even as they're at home resting. We ask you for your recovery. We pray for Brother Miniasi, Lord, Brother Nossi and the family, for the loss of their dear saint. We are buoyed by the fact that she is in your presence. She's born again. We pray for the Rangihuna family. Lord God, I ask you that you continue to bring comfort and peace to each and everyone in Jesus' name. And Lord, for your word today, we ask you to speak to us once again. Anoint your servant and your people to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's clap our hands one more time. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I would also like to announce that immediately after the service, our graduates from our primary school, high school, and college, we're going to have a celebration for you after the service with your parents. So join with our youth meeting, youth department for that. Praise God. Well, we've already had a long service already, and so I'm not going to take too long. I won't go, I promise, beyond 4 hours. We are Pentecostal and have been known. I've been in services that finish at midnight. Up in North Queensland, the very tip of Australia, in between Australia and Papua New Guinea. We start service at 7 o'clock, finish just about 1 o'clock. Amen. I don't need to tell you that I slept well the next day. One of God's and one of the Bible's metaphors for his people and for people in general is that we are as sheep. And Isaiah says we are like sheep have gone astray. And if you look and you study what sheep are like, I've never been on a farm, or I know Brother Richard Bully used to work on a sheep farm. He did the whip the other last couple of months ago when we had the All Nations. But if you study sheep, or maybe you ask one of our Kiwi brethren about sheep, they'll be able to tell you that the reason why we are like sheep is that sheep are somewhat helpless creatures. They have a tendency to get lost. They have a tendency to follow one another. Sheep don't have a good sense of direction. They've been known to get lost only just several meters away from the rest of the flock, because their attention can be drawn away ever so quickly. And the Bible says that we are like sheep. And though as much as we like to think of ourselves as being strong and I'm more like a lion, not like a sheep. I know some of you like to think that way. Living upon this planet, it is a precarious existence. You only have to live for a little while to realize that we are actually quite vulnerable. I know at times that there are certain stages in our lives where we feel strong and we feel like we've got a good health and there's a good money savings in the bank and there's everything is going well and we feel almost invincible. But I want to remind you today that life on this earth can be quite vulnerable. It just takes one thing to change your circumstances and you'll realize just how vulnerable we are. And one of the other characteristics of sheep is that they tend to follow one another. They don't have a good sense of direction, but they follow the sheep that's in front of them. And you'll often, it's been reported that a sheep will jump to their death. They'll jump over a cliff to their death because they simply follow the sheep in front of them. They said, okay, if they're going that way, I'm going that way. And we only have to look around at our world and see that people are like that. That they're, oh, I'm doing that because they're doing that. You know, we have this desire to conform. We have this desire to, you know, wherever we go, we got to do the same thing and look the same way. And they, oh, they're doing that. I'm going to do that as well. Even though we don't really understand the reason behind why they do what we do. But because we are like sheep. And I want you to understand something, that we all follow something. We all follow somebody. We're all following some kind of ideology or philosophy in this world or society. Some are following influencers on TikTok and Instagram. You know, they're an influencer because they've got a following and people are following them. These are terms that have become a part of our modern vernacular today. And we follow things and we follow ideas, we follow our ambitions. And we were told all of our life that you have to do this and you have to achieve this. And that's become what we follow. That's become the purpose by which we seek after, we pursue those things. And we follow things. And sometimes we simply follow people because we don't have anybody else to follow. Amen. But I like what the psalmist David wrote in the most famous psalm of all in the Bible. You would know this. You should know this by heart. It's Psalms chapter 23. The very first psalm that David wrote as a king when he ascended the throne. And when he finally ascended the throne, he realized just how difficult this position was going to be. That he was now responsible for his whole nation. And so he realized that he needed a shepherd. He himself needed to follow somebody that would give him direction. And so in the very first verse, he makes this declaration. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. That's something that we remember. That's the first line often that we remember, of course, of this psalm, that the Lord is my shepherd. I believe that David was simply making a declaration in this psalm. He was making a statement to proclaim that everyone is following something and I'm going to follow the shepherd. He, God, is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Can I talk to somebody today and remind you that there is nobody greater to follow? That whatever it is that you're following, perhaps you followed other paths, you followed other people, you followed things and ideas and plans, but let me remind you that those things can fail you. They can bring to you naught and emptiness and misery. But if you make that declaration today, if you decide in your life that God, you're going to be my shepherd, I'm going to follow you. You're going to be the one that I follow, that I give my life, that I pursue after. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, it is the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord sent me here today to tell you that you've tried everything else and it's given you nothing. But try Jesus. He is the good shepherd. And if you make him the one that you're going to follow. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. He'll not leave you empty. He's not going to leave you breathless. Even if you come to the house of God today and you follow man, I want you to know, don't follow just us, but follow the good shepherd. Hallelujah, because we're all following something. Whether you admit it or not, whether you recognize it or not, we're all following something. Well, why? Because we're like sheep. I don't care how intelligent you are. You might have an IQ of over 140. I don't know, whatever it is. You might drive a nice car, but listen to me. You are still like sheep. You're going to be vulnerable, and you're going to follow somebody else. Come on, somebody. Amen. But listen to me, there's a God who wants you to follow him. And I don't know who this is for, but I believe every single person that's in this house today, I want you to know God sent me to tell you he wants you to follow him. He wants to lead you. He's got a plan for your life. He doesn't want you just to wander in the wilderness. He has a plan for your life. He's got purpose in mind. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you, just maybe for a couple of seconds, to think about this. Who are you following? Maybe we're just following the whims of our flesh. Whatever our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to go here, we go here. Our flesh wants to run over there, we run over there. Our flesh wants to, and we, We're following something else. But let me remind you, we're like sheep. We need direction. We need the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You may not always be able to see him and see everything that he does, but you've got to learn to tune your spiritual ears to hear the voice of the shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he promises, he said, if he's my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and he declares, he remembers, he says, I will not want. That means I'm not going to be found wanting. I'm not going to be in a place where I am lacking. When he is your shepherd, let me tell you, no matter where you are in life, you will never lack. You will never be wanting if Jesus continues to be the shepherd that leads you. Come on, somebody. Even if your boss says, I'm sorry, I don't have any work for you anymore. I'm sorry, but we got to let you go. Don't you get weary and upset and bent out of shape. Why? Because you still got a shepherd who said he's not going to let you be wanting. You're not going to lack money. You're not going to lack house. You're not going to lack clothes. My God shall supply all your needs. According to his riches and glory. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how many people turn their backs on you. If he is your shepherd, you're always going to have it. You're always going to have enough. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, I've been walking with God. I've had the Holy Ghost nearly 30 years of my life. I didn't live always a Christian life. In fact, as a teenager, I was hooked on drugs, smoking pot every day. I was lost out of my mind. I was hearing voices. Oh, but when I came to know my shepherd, I found a way. I was following everybody else. I was following the gangs. I was following my mates. I was following the trend. Oh, but when God came into my life, when I heard his voice, he said, I'm gonna take care of you. I've never been lacking. Hallelujah. Brother Roy, I gotta wrap this up. We had a long service today. I'm sorry. I know you're tired and I'm hungry. We gotta eat. But listen to me, he has never failed me. He never promised me an 8-bedroom mansion. He never said, oh, you're going to drive a European car one day. So I'm not saying that those things are God. I'm not preaching prosperity here. But I can testify in 30 years of living for God, I have never lacked. Even in my hardest moments in life, God always came through. He always gave me an answer. He always gave me a word of consolation. God always, when I had no strength left, when I thought I was going to collapse, my God, my shepherd picked me up and gave me strength to go one more day. Hallelujah. I didn't want to talk about giving right now. This is not in my notes. I feel like God's telling me to help somebody right now. You will not want as long as you continue to trust him as your shepherd. That means trusting him with not just coming to church on Sunday, but with your resources. When you give your tithes and your offerings. I'll be honest with you, this was one of the things I struggled with early on as a Christian. I struggled because I was always feeling insecure about whether I'm going to have enough. And God spoke to me one day. I was preaching. I went to this church, and I traveled there, and I had like $70 left. That was all I had left in my bank account. That's all I had left in my wallet. I don't know. This may not be a great big testimony for you or revelation, but it was a testimony for me. And at this church, you know, it was a fairly poor church. And oftentimes when you go travel and preaching overseas, they don't give you an offering as a preacher. They don't give you that because they don't have enough for themselves. And that's good. And I'm happy with that. I go there to give stuff. I mean, we're living in an age now, folks, where you got some nominal Christian places where they got mega churches where a preacher would get up to preach for 45 minutes and they pay him $50,000. That's just ridiculous. If you wanted to give that, I'm open to that. I'm just joking. 50 grand to preach one sermon. And you know, I believe that the preacher, the minister is worthy of his hire. That's what the Bible says. Absolutely. I went to this church. And I said, I need these $70 to be able to pay one of my bills back in those days. But I just felt God moving on me and said, you know, just give and give it to this church. They're poor. So I gave $70. That's all I had. Put it in there. And we had a move of God. It was a wonderful service. At the end of the service, the pastor had everybody come. And they put a basket in front of me, in front of the church, and had everybody come and put money in the basket. And I was, you know, like some of these folks don't even work. They're, you know, they're farmers. They gave me the money, and I said, man, I can't take this. No, you got to take it. I took it back to my motel where I was staying. And as I opened it and I counted it, God just spoke to me. The figure that was in that money, it was exactly $770. Not 775 cents. It was exact, and the reason it was exact was because God wanted to remind me. He said, you're always so fearful. You've got to trust me that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. But I'm waiting for you to activate your faith. Listen to me. God can't do anything in your life unless you step out by faith. Faith is not just a mental assent. The Bible says faith is the substance. What's the substance? It's this. It's your actions. It's the evidence of things not seen. If you believe, you got to have substance. If you got faith, you've got to show evidence in your actions. And I believe today, if you trust the shepherd, God is going to meet your needs. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. How many believe that? How many can testify that God has been good to you, that he's already opened up the windows of heaven and poured out blessings that you can't even contain, that my God will not see his children begging for bread, but he'll supply. Hallelujah. Lord is my shepherd. I'm almost finished. That verse. I won't be long, I promise. I'm going to have to continue this another. This psalm is incredible. And then he says, he makes me to lie down. And here's how the Spirit leads us. And God had me connect the way the shepherd leads us. The way shepherds lead is they're not always whacking the sheep from behind. Say, come on. Sometimes they have to do that to individual sheep who stray. But if you watch, the shepherd leads and the sheep follow. And so that's what God does. He goes ahead of us. That's why sometimes it doesn't feel like he's here right now, because he's in our tomorrow. He's ahead of us. He says, come on, just keep putting one foot. If God came down and had to grab you by your neck and say, here I am, you wouldn't need faith. But because we still have to activate and walk by faith, he leads ahead. But he calls out to the sheep. I don't know. Brother Richard, are you here? Where's Brother Richard at? Brother Richard, you're up there? How do you call the sheep? Well, maybe I'll ask one of these Kiwis. You whistle. I don't know. But you have to, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they recognize my voice. And that's how the Spirit of God leads. He speaks to us, and we have to follow. We have to focus our hearts and our minds. And here's where he leads us. Here's how you know you're being led by the Spirit of God. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He will always lead you to an environment where you can flourish, into an environment where you can grow. And I submit to you, the green pastures is the church of the living God. Amen. Well, that's half of you. I believe that God will always lead us to the church. He will never lead us away, separated from church, but God will always lead us to the body of Christ. Come on now. I know there's been times I don't want to go to church. There's been moments I'd rather not be in the house of God. There's been times where folks in the church had upset me and offended me, but I knew when I look, every time I look at the Word of God, that God's will is for us to gather. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You read Acts chapter 2. The early church, they gathered from house to house in the temple every day. I want you to know God's green pastures is the house and the body of Christ. Hallelujah. God will always lead us to the church. Can I tell you, we've been around for 2,000 years. Well, not me personally, but maybe you. This church has been here for 2,000 years. Kings and kingdoms have come and gone. Dynasties have risen and have fallen. And yet the church of the living God is still alive. Why? Because this is none other than the kingdom of God. Your shepherd will always lead you to green pastures. Okay, I'm done shouting. That's it. That's finished. I know there are some folks here that you've had some bad experiences in church. Some negative, and that's an indictment on the church, on individuals. But the church is still the church, folks. And God, his plan is always the kingdom of God. The church is the means by which he's going to reach this lost world. And I think there are times, perhaps, there are some churches where, yes, spiritual abuse does happen. And that's what we've tried our very earnest to make sure that none of that happens in this church. And you all are responsible for how you treat one another. And there are some places that become incubations of toxicity, negative relationships. But let the church of God. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one towards another. Your obligation is not to straighten your brother out. God never mandated you for you to correct your sister. God's going to do that. You have only one mandate, and that's to love your brother and to love your sister. And I'm telling you, when we do that, this becomes an environment like that green grass where he makes us to lie down, where it becomes our environment, where we live. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for this church. I wouldn't have been able to overcome all this drugs and lifestyle of sin and immorality if it wasn't for folks in this church that took the time out to grab a 19-year-old, take me under their wing, and to teach me how to pray and to show me how to live right. I didn't think it was possible. I grew up with the idea that life is about making money and having a good time. I mean, how many of you still have that philosophy? Don't raise your hand. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And wherever you make that saying, you know, where you make your bed, you got to lie in it. Okay? What that simply means is wherever you decide to live, because every night we all find a bed to sleep in. Some maybe that are homeless. Even the homeless folk, they have to find somewhere, someplace by which to make their bed. And once they make it, they've got to sleep in it. And God, he says, as our shepherd, he makes us to lie down in a place that is fertile, that is lush, that will feed us, that will give to us the nourishment in our bodies and our lives. It says he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us to where we can be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's where he leads us, where there is always this refreshing. And it goes into the next verse, where he restores my soul. My soul is restored. Can I tell you here today, if you've never experienced the Spirit of God, Jesus promised it. This is one promise. He said to the disciples, tarry ye here in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And they waited 10 days until the day of Pentecost. And on that day, what Jesus promised would be given to everyone, to every man that is thirsty, manifested. And on that day, the Spirit of God fell in that upper room where 120 in that room were filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, it's the Spirit of God that will quench the thirst of your parched souls. It's the Spirit of God that will restore you. If there's anybody in here, your soul is weary. Your soul is tired. Anybody like me, I'm kind of tired of all the stuff that's going on in the world. I'm tired of hearing coronavirus. I'm tired of hearing masks. No, I'm tired. I want God to restore my soul. I want a fresh connection and a baptism. Come on. We're going to see the end of this. We're going to see right through this. And it's going to be through the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Whatever you do, you got to get the Holy Ghost. He that believes, amen. He that has a thirst, God will fill. Hallelujah. I'm just about done. I've got to stop. I wish I could. Hallelujah. If you've not had this experience, Jesus said, except a man is born again of water and of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot be saved unless you are born again, unless you are baptized. Listen to me. We've got water here that will baptize you, and we will baptize you the same way as if Peter, the apostles, Paul baptized folks. You know how they did it? They baptized people in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or removal of their sins. And the Bible says God will fill with the Holy Ghost. He'll fill us with his Holy Spirit. He'll refresh us and he'll be indwelling within us. And he will lead us. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. He leads us in the path of righteousness. I've got to stop. Musicians, you better come give hope, some hope to these folks. We could probably take enough time to preach a message on every verse of Psalms 23. There's just so much packed with so much wisdom. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness is a blessing. And there is a blessing that is attached to living righteously. And when righteousness is not about some legalism. God's making people do this and not do that. But righteousness is the life that will bring abundance and true joy. I'll tell you, I walked away from God as a young man, and there was nothing more miserable in my life. As much as I tried to drown it out with all kinds of substance, it was misery to my conscience, knowing that I was separated from God. Oh, but when I was reconciled with Him, the peace that came with knowing that I was right with God, nothing can compare. Maybe you've never fallen away. Maybe you've never lived a life of sin. But I can tell you, it's nothing but misery and emptiness and darkness, hopelessness. And to know that I am at enmity with God, to know that I am in opposition to Him, brought in my conscience nothing but misery and depression. But when I was in right standing before God, the Bible says He imputes righteousness, inputs. He inputs righteousness into us, that when we are reconciled with Him, He inputs righteousness, that immediately we are righteous before God. Even when your wife is angry at you, you're still right before God. Even when sometimes you may get, bad thoughts, God says you're righteous before me. He leads us in the path of righteousness, not because He's some legalistic judge looking over us, making us do what is hard. He wants us to be blessed. Righteousness is a blessing. And then something changes in the Psalms 23, verse 4. It changes. His language prior to this was God, my shepherd. It's talking about a God who was in a third person. And then in verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they are a comfort to me. He goes from a third person God to now he addresses God directly. He says, you are with me. You are my rod, your staff, they comfort me. Before he was a third person kind of God. What happened? What changed? Perhaps it was the fact that he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. See, when life is good, when everything's fine, we can even come to the house of God, and sometimes we can treat God like He's a third person. God, you're out there somewhere. But when you are going through trials and the pain of life, you don't need a third person God. You need a real God who is connected with you. You need a personal, first person God. He says, you are my God. Because you are with me, I'm not going to fear. When you're on the mountaintop of success, it's like you don't need God. But it's when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it's when death is knocking on your door, it's when sickness is all around, it's when something in your life changes and you're all of a sudden the rug is moved from off your feet and you fall flat in your face. When you are struggling, that's when he's not just a third person God that I go to once a week in camp, see at the Pentecostals of sin. He becomes real, he becomes personal. And I want you to know your God wants to be so real to you. He wants to know you. He's calling you. Maybe that's why you're sitting here today. Maybe you've heard His voice and you didn't even know it was Him. But something was pulling you here. Something was drawing you here. You didn't understand it. It sounded like some faint voice somewhere. Let me tell you, it's none other than the voice of the shepherd beckoning his sheep to come and draw closer. He said, you were with me when I'm going through the valley. Your rod, there's two things there, a rod and a staff. A rod is for correction. The staff is often the one with a hook so that he can rescue the sheep if it's about to fall. You thank God if you're going through correction right now, if you're going through pain and trouble, you ought to rejoice because it means the shepherd is correcting us. Hallelujah. Don't fret about what's happening with your neighbors and say, man, they're not even living for God and they're having success. my neighbors are doing all kinds of immorality, and they got money and healthy. They're not. They didn't get corona. I got corona. What's going on? Don't you fret, because the ones, the Bible says, the ones that God doesn't love, He doesn't chastise them. But it's the ones that He loves that He corrects. If you're going through pain, it's because God is drawing you so that He doesn't just become a third person God. He becomes a first person God where you can know Him personally. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Who are you following today? Make Him your shepherd. Follow Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Not your ambitions, not your drive, not money, not success, not even ministry. But I want to follow Him. I'm sorry. I know I said this is my fifth and final closing. I promise. Very last verse of Psalms 23, verse number 6. There's only 6 verses. You ought to memorize this. It says, surely. Here's what happens. When you follow the shepherd, something else follows you. When you are walking, following the shepherd, there's somebody stalking you. But Brother Josh Carson did this recently. Come here, Brother Greg. Come here, Miles, my brother. These two are my stalkers. This is goodness, and this is mercy. I need mercy from this guy. Have you seen him bench? Goodness and mercy will follow me as I follow the shepherd all of those days. Wherever I go, wherever Jesus the shepherd leads me, I've got 2 things following me. I've got goodness and mercy. If I go up here, no matter where the Spirit of God leads me, the shepherd, when I turn around, I've got goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life, and I'm gonna dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand on your feet? Hallelujah. You need to follow Jesus today. You need to make Him your shepherd. You need to follow Him with everything that you have. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, He can fill you with His Holy Spirit. The evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's how you know you got the Holy Ghost. Because you'll speak in a language that you don't understand. You need to repent of your sins. You need to make it right in your heart. Jesus said this. He said, I'm going to put new wine in you. New wine meaning the Holy Ghost. But He said, I'll never put new wine in old wineskins. It's going to burst that wineskin. He said, you don't put a new garment with an old one. Otherwise, it's going to rip the old garment. What is He saying? He said, if you want something new, you've got to get rid of the old tired stuff. You got to get rid of that attitude that says, I can't learn anything new. You got to get rid of that mindset that said, no, I already know. I don't need to listen. You got to get rid of that pride, that thing that becomes so hard, like that wineskin, that leather bottle that becomes so hardened. You've got to rid that, because God can't do anything with a hardened heart. He can't do anything with pride. He can't do anything with a spirit to say, ah, I'll never learn it. I'll never do it in that. I've got my own mind. You've got to open up your heart. You've got to open up your mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift up your voice right now. I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving me here this morning, this afternoon, to tell somebody, today's your day. The Spirit of God will overflow you and restore you, leading you beside the still waters. He's led you here to green pastures. He's causing His grace, His goodness to wash over you, following you with His goodness and mercy. In the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up our hearts right now. Lord, we pray that You would take away the old garment. We remove the old wineskin of arrogance, of pride, of conceitedness, of obnoxiousness, of self-righteousness. Lord God, of this attitude, Lord, that we don't have anything to change. There's no need to change. There's no need to surrender our hearts. There's no need to repent. God, we repent of that attitude today. And we're asking You, Lord, to fill us again, afresh and anew, a fresh touch of the shepherd, to embrace You, that we would, Lord, not just know about You, but we would know You personally. That we won't just sing songs about You, but we would sing to You, talk to You, Lord. We open our hearts right now that You would baptize us with the Holy Spirit afresh and anew in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I open this altar, invite you to come. Receive a touch from the Lord. To receive His spirit of refreshing. To receive His power. Receive His healing. Or maybe simply to make a commitment today. That God, I'm declaring to the devil, to the world, that You are my shepherd. I'm going to follow You. If there's anyone here today that needs a touch from God, to remove that old material, old fabric of a hardened heart. Maybe that wineskin's been around for so long. It's weather beaten, sun beaten. It's hard and no good. It's time to bring your heart. He said, come to me and I will give to you a heart of flesh. I'm going to remove the stony heart from you. If you're willing to surrender it, and I will give you a new heart that's bleeding with blood of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord is here to touch us. Why don't you open your heart right now? God's going to transform you today. You're going to be a new creature in Christ. He's going to renew you, make you whole. Reach out to Him. Open your heart to the Lord. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart like in the day of provocation. But open your heart. Surrender it. Despite what's going on. Especially because we don't know the answers. We don't have all the answers. We're like sheep. We can't see that far ahead. Oh, but fix your eyes upon the shepherd. He knows the way. He knows what you need.
He's my comfort.
He's my comfort.
And He